WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, on Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Top studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. We've got week two of the NFL starting tonight with the Bills and the Dolphins. That should be a fun game to watch and certainly an interesting one for Jets fans who can take an even closer look at their AFC East brethren and what they're getting into. And by the way, the Jets, the only team in the AFC East to not have won at this point so far. So this is, you get another loss tonight in the AFC East. You get an exciting, unbelievable ending to the Mets game yesterday. Francisco Lindor again coming up huge. And I have to say, Boomer, I really do think, and you know my history with the Mets and growing up a huge Mets fan. I have that picture in my office of me in full uniform saying I want to be on Kiner's Corner when I was 7 years old. Went to 41 home games living in Brookhaven Hamlet in 2005. I've been to a million playoff games to see them get eliminated from the World Series twice inside Shea Stadium in Citi Field. Was there at the end of 2008 when Shea Stadium closed. I've got, there it is right there. Tim and Ralph are great. So I've been a Mets fan for a long time. I put in a lot of work as a Mets fan, if you will. And I think that 2022 ruined this season for me.
Really?
That's what I think has happened.
Why do you feel
because that season was supposed to be so special, and it was so special for so long, and then there was this horrible collapse, and they ended up losing to the Braves, getting swept, and then that Padres series, and it's hard for me to get into it because of what happened 2 years ago, and I'm mad at Max Scherzer, I'm mad at that team, I'm mad at Verlander and DeGrom, and well, actually Verlander was the year after, DeGrom and Bassett. I'm mad at all of them because I feel like this season got ruined because I don't believe in them from 2 years ago. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm great. And by the way, I'm Mr. Negative. I'm the guy that always has the negative take on things.
Well, that's more like
this is what
life
you said yesterday.
Life and politics.
Are you kidding me? I walked in this morning. I saw a Fliegelman who can't taste or smell, and I was going to say, hey. And I did say, hey.
Hey, Fliegelman.
I love you. And I love a pennant race. And both teams had amazing games yesterday. And, you know, obviously you and I did not see the Met game. I got in a car.
Live.
And
yes. Yeah,
right. I got in a car, and I'm listening to Evan, you know, yapping away.
Baseball.
Right, exactly. And he was so excited, and he got me excited. Not that way, but just made me excited. So I couldn't wait to get home to watch the highlights and to see it and watch the Lindor just rip the ball down the right field line. And again, a great performance by Sean Manaea. That's the thing. I mean, like, that's the pitching is good, and Lindor comes up huge. And again, you know, Pete Alonso, I mean, come on, man, let's go. And I just feel like, I don't know, man. Maybe there's something magical happening there.
See, this is exactly. You're going.
Yeah, but I've been around.
You're leading
longer
me
than you
right
have.
Back into
I've
my
been around
take.
Longer than you. I was a part of the Miracle Mets when I was 8 years old, and guess what? I wore my uniform and brought my glove to Shea Stadium, and I loved every minute of it. I would sit on the stoop, wait for my dad to come home from work. He would grab me. We'd get on the train,
yeah.
And we'd go back to Shea Stadium, and I would wear my little Met uniform.
I'm glad you said that, because that's a major difference right there, is you remember the Miracle Mets, and you remember 86, where I was 4 years old in 86 and obviously was nowhere near being alive in 1969. So I think that's really where that comes from, is the fact that you've seen it happen. You've actually seen.
But part of being a fan is the suffering, man. And then
I've had it. Yeah, I know. But
and when it finally happens, like in 1994, I'm dragging my, you know, my 2-year-old, a 3-year-old with me, Gunnar to every freaking playoff game because I wanted him to be a part of it because he may never see another Stanley Cup in his life.
Yeah, I understand.
And, you know, does he remember it? No, but does he look back at some videos that we're in? Yes. I mean, this is part of the long suffering victimhood of fandom that we all have to embrace. I mean, that's the beauty of it. I mean, watching the Mets do something that at the beginning of the year, the first 3 weeks, we never thought this would even be remotely a chance to have happen.
Yeah.
And we thought maybe trade deadline, Pete Alonso's going to go, this one's going to go. And then there was that whole discussion about how Steve Cohen believed in the team and they weren't going to make any trades. And the players were coming out saying, we need support here. You know, and I said to you that I felt like the players earned the right to say that because they played themselves out of the abyss into being a team that is legitimately now in this pennant race. So I don't know, man. I take it when it comes and when it's here right now. And how many times have we said, oh, just give me meaningful baseball in August and September?
Well, yeah, and that's not a phrase. That's not a phrase that I use a lot.
Well, I mean, a lot of people around here use it.
Yeah.
I mean, because I've used it. I said, because I don't want, you know, I love football and I want to be a part of football and I want to be all engrossed in football. And we got a Thursday night game tonight, of course. But these two teams, both the Yankees and the Mets, win games yesterday after the Mets are almost being no hit and the Yankees have a walk-off. And Lindor ties it in the ninth inning with a blast. And it's like everybody took a big, deep breath, I felt like, watching a replay of it. So yeah. I'm just, hey, I don't know, man. I that made me feel good. When I heard Evan on this radio station when we got in the car yesterday after we were winners, I felt like a sense of, I don't know, like euphoria.
Wow.
Because I feel like the morale around here has been in the toilet because of what happened with the football teams the first weekend and how inconsistent the Yankees have been. But the Mets have been kind of surging. And I know that they've won, lost, been great.
I mean, yeah. I'm not denying any of that. And I don't want to be my words to be misconstrued. I just feel like I have that trepidation into buying in because I'm just so tired of that feeling of 2022. Like that's really what it comes down to. It's my own fault. I mean, I wish I had the maturity to just go, well, screw it. Enjoy every bit of it. It's fine. It's fun. It's great. It's entertainment. But it's like I don't want to all of a sudden go, wow, you know, buy fully in. They're going to do it. This is special. Maybe something magical is happening. And then just see what I saw a couple years ago because I did exactly that. I was activated. I was brought back. I was like a little kid again with that team.
You know, but they
squashed me like a lantern fly.
Every season is different. You know this. Every season. That's why like the Jets are all in this season. They got Aaron Rodgers. How long is this going to last? Who knows? But it's every season is all in. I have to say that, you know, when you look at the Mets starting pitching staff and the way that they have come through this season, you know, they caught a little lightning in a bottle. Let's face it. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, you would have this pitching staff actually throw this many innings and be this effective. Mm. And then Lindor turning it on, living up to his contract finally. And you think about what they've done and how they've put guys in place of other guys. You know, Blackburn gets hurt. McGill goes in there. He wins a game. I mean, this is what's going on. Now, they should get Blackburn and Kodai. They may even get Kodai Senga back. I don't know.
No.
I couldn't imagine.
No.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, they said he was out for the year.
Oh, he is out for the year?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So now you're bringing me down.
Well, why am I bringing you down? Why? It's not my calf.
Hey, you know what? We don't need him right now.
You don't need him? I mean, I will say one of the most impressive things that this team did is once he came back and then was gone again, that didn't sink him. Because that felt like that, you know, you were waiting and waiting and waiting. Just get the Kodai Senga getting back. Then rotation's going to get even better. Maybe this team could actually do something. He comes back and then he's gone, but still they were able to survive that. That's probably the most impressive thing they've done all year.
Well, I think they've taken, I know in the month of August there were five losses that they had that could have led to a complete downward spiral, but they always came back after those losses. I don't know what to tell you, bro. I'm in. The second half of the season has been great. They just coming off of that 9-game winning streak. Pitching staff has been good. Lindor, you know, a little bit of a dip, but comes through in a huge spot. I mean, if Pete Alonso could just get going.
I mean, it's time to forget about him getting going.
No,
at this point.
I'm saying, like, it's not going to happen. Even if he doesn't get going and he just, you know, hits a home run here, sack fly there, gets hit
when
the
it
ball,
matters.
Whatever. Yeah, I understand.
But key situation.
What happens? Remember, I was telling you, like, what happens if the Jets' season goes in a negative direction and Aaron's given those interviews mm-hmm. on ESPN with Pat McAfee. What happens if this Met team goes in the opposite direction and they make the playoffs and then Pete Alonso carries the team through the playoffs to the World Series? Then what happens?
Well, I think he's going to get a massive contract, and I think that that changes the way the Mets look at him too, of course.
All right, I'm trying to give you a balanced look at things. Mm. One with a positive spin on it and one with a potential negative spin on it. So I want to be balanced. That's
yeah,
my
I know.
Whole thing
I know you're very good
balanced.
At that.
I want
you're
to be fair
good.
And balanced.
Very good at being balanced.
Fair and balanced.
And fair, yes.
Fair.
Yeah,
you want to say
sure.
balanced and fair or fair and balanced?
I think fair and balanced. I've heard that before, so let's go with that.
All right, I'll be fair and balanced.
Okay, yeah. No, I understand. I mean, and that's where you make your
I'm
money.
I'm excited. And again, like for my little friend Evan, I have to say, it just the passion came through the microphone yesterday. I felt like it was like a 10-year-old boy watching his team, and I thought back to myself when I was a 10-year-old boy watching my team.
Yeah, it's funny perspectives on things because you know, and I think back to all those times that I was younger, and they just crushed me, and that's why I feel the way that I feel. But somehow they haven't been able to kill him. They haven't.
Well, you know why? Because he's a real fan. He's a real hardcore fan. I'm a hardcore fan, but right. I'm not scoring games. I'm not, you know, I don't go to bed at night with my little beanie hat on that says Mets. I don't do that.
Little beanie hat on?
Yeah, whatever he wears.
He wears a beanie hat to bed?
I don't
bed?
Know what he wears. It with that little thing with the propeller on the top of it.
Where's that to bed?
I don't know. but again, like he's like my beacon of Mets light.
Wow.
Even though Tommy tends to be more positive.
Sure. That's like his shtick now, right?
But remember when Tommy was talking about the Knicks? We got dudes, dogs who do damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could say the same thing about the Mets right now.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly
dudes,
have.
Dogs and some damage.
I mean, this and the fact that they are now, and it's back and forth, and they're a game ahead of the Atlanta Braves. I know they've suffered a ton of injuries, but if they could somehow hold off the Atlanta Braves of all teams and get that wild card over them and keep them out of the playoffs, that would feel like a miracle of all miracles.
All right, so from the fan's perspective, you're a fan. I understand where you're coming from, and I understand where most Met fans would come from, are coming from in regards to that particular team. But here's my message, and I'm sure this is their discussion with internally within the Mets and in the dugout before the game. You know, it's one pitch, one inning. One at bat, it's one game. And you got to take everyone seriously. And it doesn't matter what they're doing. It only matters with what we're doing.
Man.
What did I tell you yesterday? One swing, one putt, one hole. Doesn't matter what those idiots are doing. It only matters with what we're doing. Am I right?
No, you're right. You're absolutely
That's
right.
That's how you got to focus in.
I mean, I think that
you got to focus in that way. It's very simple. I don't know. You start talking about other things that have nothing to do with anything. Just worry about what you do. And as the great Bill Belichick stumbles on the Manning cast and everything else, will tell you, do your job.
Yeah, and they have been.
One pitch.
I got it.
One at bat.
I hear you.
One
yeah.
swing.
I know.
Right. One thought process.
Yep.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I understand.
And how much money did you put in your pocket yesterday?
Gambling. I don't gamble on the golf course. What do I look like? Phil Mickelson?
Seriously, how much money did you put in your pocket yesterday?
I think it was $80, maybe.
80 sleeves. Boom. Done. You're a winner today. Look at you.
Yeah, I don't.
You're glowing.
Yeah, I don't feel like a winner today.
No. See,
I don't.
This is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Were we a team yesterday?
We were a team, yes.
Are we a team today?
We're a team every day.
Every single day.
Damn right.
And what are we?
Number one.
Winners.
Winners.
Right. And
winners win!
And sometimes, like, I make complete six passes, but the team's going to win.
Yeah.
You know, I think back in 2007, the Giants went to Buffalo. They played the Bills. It was a blustery day. It was awful, if I remember correctly. Eli didn't have great stats, but his team won. Antonio Pierce made great plays. Ahmad Bradshaw made great plays. Brandon Jacobs was running over people. You know, I mean, it was just, it was a great game. And I know that he felt like he didn't really help his team. But ultimately, what that game did was propel the Giants into the playoffs, and they went on the single greatest NFL playoff run that anybody has ever done.
Yeah, it's an outlier, but yes.
No, wait a minute. An outlier, it's number one. It's the greatest run a team has ever had in the NFL.
No, I'm saying that just doesn't usually happen with teams. It happened.
Yeah.
And when
For
every one of those.
But when did Eli raise his play? He raised his play in the biggest of games.
Well, he is a champion.
That's
a Hall of Famer.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
They got those guys on this team?
By the way, I'm not saying he won't go in the Hall of Fame, but he's not a Hall of Famer yet. You can't call him a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Well, we know that, but wait until he gets voted in. But what I'm saying to you is that you see how you never know how it's going to propel your team and where your team's going to end up. So Pete Alonso could be the Mets' Eli Manning, struggling, fans booing, everybody wanting to get rid of him, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
boom, a switch goes on.
Flip the switch spot.
A switch goes on, a light goes on.
Wow.
And he goes off, and he has the ability to carry this team. Like, that's what I would be saying to him.
You know what? You got this Evan little child thing going on that you were talking about. I feel like
there's a little child in all of us, G.
Yeah, I've heard that before, the inner child. But I feel like there's also there's other people around here. I actually heard it during the warm-up show with Fliegelman. Fliegelman still feels like 2 out of 10.
Fliegelman was on a warm-up show?
Yeah, well, he was in the control room doing some log stuff, and Jerry referenced him because I guess he asked him a couple weeks ago when we were off, what's your confidence level, 1 out of 10, that the Mets make the playoffs? And I guess he said a 2 out of 10 then.
Oh, okay.
So now that they're playing well, Jerry went to Fliegelman and said, hey, Fleegs, what's your confidence level now? He goes, 3 out of 10.
Did he ask him about, you know, whether or not VP Harris can get the presidential?
No.
Taylor Swift,
he didn't also, he didn't ask him about do teenage boys excrete oils either,
okay,
which is what Jerry asked Eddie the other day. But Eddie, I'll go to Eddie. I'll do my own right Eddie moment.
Right, Eddie?
I mean, are you more with the Evan Roberts boomer side of things? Or are you more with the me Fliegelman side of things?
I am sort of in between.
Oh, come on. You know, that sucks.
Boo.
Stop being in between. Give us a point of view. Give us an opinion. Are you excited like I am?
Oh, 100%.
Me and Evan are excited.
Unless we just spit the bit in Atlanta again.
Oh, wait, stop with that.
Unless that happens, this season is a success right now.
Listen, if you speak it, it can happen all over again, and you're trying to speak it into existence. So stop it.
That's mumbo jumbo talk right there.
Yeah, mumbo jumbo spot.
That's a word salad?
Word salad.
Yeah, no, it's not. Just enjoy the ride, boys. It's a pennant race.
Oh, I'm enjoying it.
And both teams had incredible wins yesterday. Incredible.
What is that, Pittsburgh you got on your shirt?
Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
Oh, Pittsburgh, New Hampshire. Yeah, I don't see the H on there.
That's
Pittsburgh,
right.
Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
That's didn't right. New Hampshire have the Mud Bowl yesterday or this weekend?
Not sure.
Yeah, I think I saw where they had the Mud Bowl.
Okay.
Bunch of guys play football in the mud. I don't know why, but they do it.
Okay, very good. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Get Jerry in here. He's got a lot of great Met and Yankee highlights to play for you. He also has audio of Shannon Sharp having sex.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right.
Live, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here. I'm excited for all the audio he's got this morning. What's going on, Jerry?
Morning brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next construction or cleanup project, visit wintersbros.com. So, yeah, Mets being no-hit for much of yesterday until
0-2. Hit high in the air, deep right field. Lindor swings and sends it out to tie the game and deliver heartbreak to the Blue Jays. Francisco Lindor in the ninth has tied the game up at one, ripping the no-hitter up and putting the Mets on the board with their first hit and their first run.
Off of
Oh my God,
Francis, that's right. That was Keith Rad on Mets Odyssey Radio. If you were listening to the radio station, you would hear Evan's reaction.
He then had someone around here put it up on the wall outside our studios. Get the hell out of here! Get out of here!
Let's go!
What'd you get for leaving his ass in there for another inning?
What just saying?
There you go. Very.
This is what I heard.
Very exciting.
This is why I got all excited.
Were they talking about us ripping down those things off the wall prior to that?
Yes.
No, that's what it sounded like.
They didn't understand like why I didn't like it. And I... These people are so unprofessional. And I was very surprised at Tiki. I thought Tiki would be a little bit more forceful in dealing with these people that, you know, what do you want me to do? You want me to bring my Farrah Fawcett, Cheryl Teagues posters and hang them on the wall?
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
I mean, I'm not doing that.
I mean, and it's just the way that it doesn't fit there. They're
one is longer than the other. One is, I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I was with you on it, and that's why I didn't...
You're the one who ripped them down.
I'm tired of you complaining about it. I said, I got to do something about this. Because I feel like back from every break, those things are still up there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean,
look at that. This is a professional place of business, and I think you said it right yesterday. We have clients coming through here all the time. Like that guy from the paving stone guy.
Yeah, he
came through here. If he saw that on the wall, he'd be like, what is that?
What are you, a bunch of children working here?
Yes,
what exactly. What is this? I mean, is this a daycare? Is this a sports talk radio?
That looks like a 10-year-old's bedroom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. And that's why they're gone. Gone and sitting in Zach Martin's office somewhere.
No, I think that they said that they were going to hang them somewhere. I think in their domain, which is fine.
Okay.
Not their, our domain. That's everybody's domain out there.
Yeah, that's community domain out there, man. You can't just hang your own stuff up in community domain.
This is like a quality of life issue.
Quality of life.
It is, because like if you allow this to happen without running it by everybody in a public square, then like, what are you doing? Then you're just basically saying, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I don't give a rat's ass.
We're going to get some Barbara Prey pictures up there.
Damn straight. That's exactly right. Some barn pictures, some beautiful barn pictures. Make everybody feel good.
Yeah, make everybody feel like they're stuffy.
Yeah, how about a barn from New Hampshire where you love?
Yeah, I don't need a picture of it in the newsroom, though.
But I wouldn't hang it up there. I'm not saying I would. That's the point. I'm not hanging something up there that isn't approved by corporate, the architect, the ambassador, all these people walking around here titles.
I was talking to Sal. He did get permission.
From who?
I don't think it was the highest level, but he did kick it up the chain and got
the brand ambassador said he knew nothing of it.
And there's no way that he ended up kicking it all the way up the chain.
No. By the way, so that meant he went over his direct boss, the brand ambassador. If I'm the brand ambassador, I gotta sit down with Sal and talk to him.
You're telling me the architect gave Sal permission to hang those things up?
He didn't go to the top. No, he went to the right below the brand ambassador.
Dove?
No.
Well, who was that
Who's
person?
Right below?
Dave Marinick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I could take my own blood and write Helter Skelter on the wall, and Dave Marinick could be like, cool, that's awesome.
He doesn't want any conflict.
Yeah, he's just a happy-go-lucky guy.
And by the way, Dave Marinick, he handles Infinity Sports Radio, am I right?
He does, part of his job.
He does scheduling for here, too.
He does scheduling
for
here, too.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Yep. Well, scheduling. Uh-huh. I mean, Ryan is his direct boss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ryan's got to squash this. I mean, this is where you got to take hold of things, and you just got to say, this kind of crap's going to stop.
All right, Jerry. Here's Lindor and SNY. Says the home run was really just the start of what did turn out to be a very beginning.
He led us at bat right after with Green coming up, and then Vientos walking, Nemo walking.
He started 0-2, ended up, you know, driving in a run and moving the runner. Marte, you know, it was only big because he got the guys going. And he helped us win the game today.
Yes, it did, very much so. Here was Alvarez with the big three-run homer that really created the separation, so how to make sure that Lindor's home run stuck.
I was thinking, like, we have to win the game, and because Sean Manaea, he threw a really good game, and the guys, we stay like, very, the energy was very good the whole game, so when he hit the homer, I was very happy.
Yeah, moves the Mets to 80-66. He mentioned Manaea, a no decision, 6 2/3, one-run ball, had a mess of an inning with the bases loaded, nobody out, but got out of it with just the one run. The Mets are off tonight. They're in Philadelphia over the weekend. They are now, again, one game ahead of Atlanta for the third wild card as the Braves lost to the Nationals 5-1. They are one game behind San Diego for the second wild card as the Padres lost to the Mariners 5-2. The Padres, Diamondbacks? I think it's the Diamondbacks that lost to the Mariners. I want to make sure I get that right.
Right, Eddie?
The Padres won, right, Eddie? Is that correct? Is that right? You got that? Yes. So that's the story. So they're off tonight in Philadelphia. I might even take Al to the game Saturday. How about
I heard that.
Really? How about that?
Wow.
We might go to Citizens Bank Ballpark.
I mean, I know that he didn't completely close the door, and there was some reasoning there why he might say yes, but I still think it's a long shot.
I do too, but there is a shot. It's possible. I don't think it's going to happen.
It's slim. It's possible, but it's slim.
You're going to go down there in that mass nightmare called Philly fans?
Well, I would dress in non-Mets clothing.
Non-offensive clothing.
No, just regular, like, you have no idea what team I'm rooting for clothing.
Mm.
Although I will tell you, as I've said many times, when I was 13 and I went to a Cowboys-Eagles game, they started throwing stuff at me in the fourth quarter because one guy identified me as a Cowboy fan because I was not cheering when the Eagles scored.
Ooh,
very smart.
They'll sniff you out.
They did.
Fraud! Fraud!
I got hit with pretzels and hot dogs. And
I mean, let's say Pete Alonso hits a home run in the bottom, like at the eighth inning, to put the Mets ahead by one run. Are you going to jump out of your seat and go, yay?
I don't sound like that, but I would not do that, no.
You kind of do sound like that.
I wouldn't say yay. I'd be like, yes.
Yes.
That sounds like Evan.
Yes. Yeah, maybe Darren and the seven line guys will have a contingent there and he can sit with them.
Interesting.
Protection.
I could
see Al Dukes right in the middle of that, and you feel like you're insulated.
In fact, if I go, I might wear a Phillies hat just to fit in.
Such a jackass. Yankees also had an exciting win last night. They were trailing 1-0, and then Juan Soto fouled the ball off his foot. Almost broke it. Who knows with the way he reacted, but he stayed in the game, and then
Torres off first. He's a tying run. 2-2. Driven deep to right field. Way back. How about Juan Soto?
Juan Soto.
Halfway up the bleachers. He goes down in pain and inflicts pain on that baseball. A two-run shot, and the Yankees take a 2-1 lead. Man, is this guy special.
And that was Emmanuel Babari with the call right here on the Fan. Move it ahead to the 11th.
2-1. Jazz grounds it. Diving stop Witt. Throw to the plate. Not in time. It's wide. Birdie scores. Jazz Chisholm wins the game. And the Yankees walk off the Royals 4-3-11.
Again, imagine.
Jizz.
Yankees win. They go to 84-62. Luis Gil, 5 innings, 1-run ball. Luke Weaver, 1 inning and 2/3 for the win. Yankees host the Red Sox tonight. Start of a big weekend series. Nestor Cortez to start on the Fan at 7:15.
So here he is. He's back in the starting rotation now. Remember, he's bitching and complaining about coming in.
Nestor Cortez.
Yeah. And also, I guess, so it looks like Luke Weaver's the guy now at the end of the game.
Well, Clay Holmes, I mean, I don't like this as a blown save, but technically last night was a blown save for him.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, he was the guy that they wanted to give it to, and he screwed it up.
Yes. All right. Shannon Sharp had quite the gaffe on Wednesday. Prior to engaging in sex, he accidentally hit the Instagram live button and streamed the sounds to over 3 million of his followers.
Yeah. I thought he said he was hacked.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I think that was someone from his team that probably tried to do that because they thought they needed some crisis management where they really didn't.
This is street cred, man.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just it's Shannon Sharp. You know, I mean, it's not like
you don't
like
see anything.
Prince William. You know what I'm saying? Like, just whatever. It's Shannon Sharp. It's what he does.
That said, he went on his podcast, the Nightcap podcast, last night and discussed how brutal it was for him.
I'm embarrassed. Someone that is extremely, extremely private. And to have one of your most intimate details, the audio heard for the entire world to hear. I'm embarrassed for a number of reasons.
He says stuff like this simply can't happen.
There are a lot of people that count on Shannon to be professional at all times, and I always try to be professional at all times. Even when I'm behind closed doors, I still try to remain a level of professional, although I'm in the privacy of my own home.
And then he would get into...
I'm professional even when I'm clapping him cheeks.
Oh, I've always wondered what this sounded like.
Did you?
Well, now you know. Everybody knows. Yeah. Last one, a friend informed him that this was out there. This is how he describes it.
Shannon, you on IG Live. I'm like, doing what? You know, I'm like, what am I on IG Live for? I ain't hit no IG Live button. He says, they can hear. Ocho, you know, I say ask for patience. He said they can hear. I said, hear me doing what? He said, sounds like you were having sex. Man, my heart sank.
Now, you don't see anything, but I understand.
My heart sank.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, what'd it sound like? Wow.
That's all. You don't want to play it, or we shouldn't play it, or
I can't. I don't have it right now because I was told we probably shouldn't.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Boomer with Boomer?
So a very eventful day for him and the podcast. I'll have some reaction from Chad Ochocinco next hour once I get to get some time to edit it. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson met the media Wednesday.
Oh, great. Nice transition.
What can I tell you? Responding to the allegations against him, he stood by what his legal team put out. He was asked if he thought about the league coming after him again. Is that a possibility?
I haven't had any thought. Honestly, my focus is, again, just being figuring out, you know, Jacksonville's plan on defense and focusing on my craft to be the best quarterback I can be on Sunday for this team.
That's it. Not concerned about the other stuff, I guess. I don't know. Week 2 does open with the Dolphins and Bills tonight. Sunday, the Jets in Tennessee. Here is Aaron Rodgers. I think it was Mark Canizero that asked him after this is his relaxed moment with the Jets. But here he was talking about everybody just needs to calm down a little bit. We'll be good.
It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like you're out in the prairie or the desert and you're wandering around trying to find water. But it's more like a nice, slow bolero, you know, where we're just swaying with the music and reacting to whatever comes to us and through us.
You ever react like you're in a bolero?
Yeah, I don't know. What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
A slow Eddie? Bolero?
Eddie?
Right, Eddie?
Isn't that from the movie 10, Al?
Well, I was reading it's a slow Spanish dance.
Oh, nice. Slow. I thought it was a bowling alley. Isn't there
boleros?
Boleros,
yes. Yeah. There are.
I don't think that's what he was referencing.
When I first heard that's what I thought. He's like, you're inside a bowling alley swaying? What?
Yeah, pretty bizarre. But that's him. The Giants visit Washington Sunday. We'll hear from Daniel Jones coming up next hour.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I don't have to play him, but yeah, a lot of questions about the slings and arrows he's taking and how he is dealing with that. So a lot of Giants now coming up next hour as well.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we talk a lot about Jerry almost killing himself on the golf course with the golf ball off the tree, hitting him in the face in front of his family, and Jerry's tired of hearing about that, and everybody sends him videos of guys hitting golf balls off trees. Yesterday, I was behind a tree. You ducked and put the plexiglass up on the golf cart thinking that there was a chance that I would hit the tree and it would come back. So it's always in our head, things that could happen.
Now, all I can think like about that was that if you hit that tree and it came back and hit me in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What an epic death.
Exactly. And I was just thinking to myself, I can't let this happen. I got to be more aware of what's going on.
Got to be more aware. Yeah. So the reason I bring all this stuff up is Joe Buck and his wife, Michelle Buck, had one of the most incredible moments of golf ball unfortunate hitting, for lack of a better term, that I've ever heard in my life. So they're playing at Lake Tahoe. It's after that whole pro-am thing that they do where everybody's out there playing, and they're out on the course, and it's late,
And it's just the two of them because they don't get to spend enough time together and just hanging out and doing stuff. So it's just the two of them. And, you know, she's hitting some balls. He's hitting some balls. Have a couple drinks, he says. And then she, as he said, you know, throughout their courtship, she's done these like splits where she'll like do like a handstand and then put her legs out. Like, it's like a thing that she does, you know, because...
And that is interesting.
Yeah, well, she does that just to, like, impress. Like, you know, like...
A handstand with splits.
Yeah, like, you do a handstand and she puts her... Like, it's like a yoga pose or something she likes to do.
That's like a gymnast.
Yeah. Like, so she likes to do that.
Oh, okay.
So she does this in front of the tee box. And I don't know if he was trying to hit the ball in... between her legs, like field goal posts, or wasn't aiming at it at all, or whatever. But he hit the ball, and it went right into her ankle at a high speed and shattered her ankle, and she had to have surgery on it. Now, you want to talk about...
Now, these two are on the golf course. She's doing this yoga gymnast move.
Yeah.
And he's trying to tee the ball off.
Yes.
She had to know that he was hitting the ball.
Oh, yeah. They were out there just
now, kinda... Was this something that they planned, or did she just put herself in front of him hitting the ball, or is it something that they tried to put on Instagram?
They didn't try to put it on Instagram. They did tell the story yesterday. I can't answer all of those questions. He did put out a video explaining it, but I think they were just having some fun. She was doing her thing, and they didn't think that was going to happen.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. She sounds great.
Yeah, of course she sounds.
And she got hit in the ankle. And yeah. Did he say that she got mad at him or anything?
No, didn't sound like it.
Wow.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it. Just was an unfortunate situation.
Was she a gymnast or something?
I don't know. I wish I knew these answers.
She's on TV. She's the sports reporter.
She is, yeah. Yep, I mean, there's a whole, I'm sure Jerry has it, there's a whole explanation from Joe Buck, and I watched most of it. To understand what's going on. So it all started because Adam Schefter put out a breaking news. Michelle Buck has surgery, like having fun with it, because they're colleagues, obviously, at ESPN. And it was because Joe hit her with a golf ball. So then he had to go on and explain the whole situation, and he did.
That is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, though, that how bad would it have been? If, like, it was a serious injury. Like, I mean, I understand it's serious, she had surgery, but, like, if it was, like, a Jerry Recco in the face, got hit in the face and bloodied and all that
stuff.
I mean,
he could have hit her in the ass. He could have hit her in the head if he worm-burned one.
Exactly.
The way I'm kind of thinking how she was flipping over and her legs were like this.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. So he must have hook-shanked one or something. Was it the right ankle or the left ankle? Do we know?
I don't know.
Was it a high fade?
I don't know. I'm thinking he was probably trying to hit in between the legs like a...
That's another dangerous area. How about if she did that to him?
Yeah. I mean, right. That would be a problem. That would absolutely be a problem.
That's a very interesting thing. I would have never thought that her ankle was broken because she did a flip in front of him and he teed off or... He was teeing off?
Yeah, on 10, he said.
On 10. So he had the driver.
He did. Yep. Oof. Yeah, shattered his wife's ankle. Let's go to Anthony in Belleville. Long time no talk. What's going on, Anthony? Good morning.
Good morning, Boomer and Gio.
Hey, Anthony, what's happening, brother?
Woo! Hey, I got the Mets going all the way as a 10. As long as they follow my... three words, one pitch, one inning, one game.
That's more than three words.
Well, three little things, whatever you want to call it. But that was mine, Boomer, and don't butcher it.
Hey, listen, it's not yours. It's been around for a long time. Just like pressure.
I came up with that about 10 years ago with Carton.
Oh, stop.
You came up with one pitch, one inning at a time?
One game.
I mean, one because game at a time. People have been saying that from the history of baseball.
And I've been saying one period, one here. Shift, one game in hockey, the whole thing. You know that.
That's right. And that's when I came up with the one pitch, one inning, one game.
You know what? Anthony, if you want to have that, you want to tell your family that you came up with it.
Gio.
you know, you can have it. You can tell your family you came up with it. The only guy that I'm actually going to give some credit to, and I think there is legitimacy to this about coming up with something that I have used in my life because I thought it was brilliant.
Right.
Dan and Carteret.
Boom
okay.
Pa.
Boom Pa.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, but hey, I don't want to have to go there, but I came up with a lot more than Dan and Carteret, I'll tell you right now. Hey, Gio, did you know I made it to the Sports Illustrated with Boomer. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
All right. What does that mean?
Wait, hold on. What does that mean? You made it to the Sports Illustrated with Boomer.
I was in the Sports Illustrated. They put me in Sports Illustrated when Boomer had his little thing there. He's been in a ton of them, but I happened to make it in one of them.
A little thing there? What's a little thing there? I don't even know. What are you talking about?
Do you remember when the writer for Sports Illustrated was in the studio? And it was during the Super Bowl, and I happened to call in and ask you a question, and then he put it in the Sports Illustrated.
Oh, okay.
Peter King?
Peter King?
Was it?
Was it Peter King?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Gio? No.
You remember? No, of course not. Why would I remember this?
Gio was here.
Minuscule detail about your life.
I came up with the window throwing. Who came up with the window throwing?
I came up with the window throwing.
Mike Francesa did.
Well, first of all, Mike came up with it, and then I amplified it. Because I came in the next morning and said I heard Mike talking about Philip Rivers.
Anthony, I mean,
you live in a freaking, like a circus.
Hey, let me tell you something. Who had the windows all set up at Red?
Oh my God!
And cross that.
You and Carton did. You and Carton did. I agree with that. But I remember Mike talking about Philip Rivers. Now you remember this?
Like window throwing.
That's what it. Yeah.
Right, Eddie. Right. So I came in the next morning and I said I thought that was a, and I was giving Mike credit, but you know, having a little fun at his expense because of the way he said it, and then of course. Carton had taken to a whole other level.
Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, that's where that came from.
Right. I mean, Anthony, gosh, wants credit for everything.
Yeah, and then Carton got that window company over in Jersey and the pregame tailgate, and they were throwing balls through windows.
Through windows, yeah. But, I mean, and Anthony, so you gave him credit for that one, but for one pitch, one inning, one game at a time?
That sounds exactly like what I've been saying for 18 years around here.